We're going to get started, and I'm going to introduce our panelists and then actually cue a video before they come up and join us. What I do want to mention is, you're going to hear from, there are four different folks, four plus a moderator, five, and there are a couple of people. Kara Bachman, I mentioned earlier, Kara is really responsible for so many great events that didn't used to happen here in Chicago that are now happening in Chicago. Most of them sports related. There are others, but there's so much good that's happened in this city because of the efforts that Kara has made. It's certainly worth all of us thanking her and welcoming to hear about that, because there's so much more, I think, to come. So thank you, Kara. You've done so much to Chicago and the Chicago Sports Commission. There's so much more to come, but thank you. And then I have to say thank you for helping bring Julie into the Chicago civic scene, because as the Chicago street race and NASCAR has become part of the fabric of Chicago, Julie Giese has really become part of the fabric of the Chicago civic community. And you've done so much in the short time, the few years that you've been here, again, with so much more to come. So thank you, especially to you two. We're going to hear more from you. But we are so excited that summer in Chicago, and I just said, you know, if we didn't have NASCAR, I feel like NASCAR, the DNC, these big events, they're moving us in the right direction, and the momentum is building, and there's so much good stuff happening in this city, and we hear about everything else. Let's talk about all these great things. So we're going to hear more about it. And I'm going to introduce to you who, now, I mentioned Julie. Julie's the president of the Chicago Street Race, who's leading this you know, bold initiative. And you'll see, I think you may hear from Julie, there's an award over here that they just received, the best new event of 2023 by Sports Business Journal. So making headlines. Kara, of course, you'll hear from the executive director of the Chicago Sports Commission, some of the other events I've mentioned, the 2020 NBA All-Star Game, the NFL Draft, and of course, the Chicago Street Race. Jeff Behnke is the 11-time Emmy Award-winning sports TV producer. He oversees all the production for NBC Sports NASCAR operations. Jeff, it's great to have you here. I don't think we've ever had an 11-time Emmy. I don't think we've ever had a one-time Emmy award winner on this stage. So thank you, Jeff, for being here. Look forward to hearing from you and Marty Snyder. Marty is a pit reporter that so many of you are probably so familiar with from NBC Sports, the NASCAR Cup, Xfinity Series, and also the IndyCar coverage. Marty, thank you for being here. We look forward to hearing that very familiar voice. And of course, today's moderator, Layla Rahimi, from NBC5 Chicago, another familiar face and voice who will help guide the panel. And we're going to invite them all up here as soon as this video ends. So let's roll that video.
A Sunday drive in Chicago, unlike any other in NASCAR history. This was the first ever attempt at racing major league stock cars through the middle of a metropolis.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town.
NBC planned the broadcast for more than 9 months and made several site visits to meet with city officials, the Parks Department, the FBI, and Homeland Security to stage what already would be a massive and unprecedented logistical feat.
Remember, we're in Grant Park. We're right in the middle of so many landmarks, monuments, so many historic areas. And for the first time ever in NASCAR's history, 75 years of racing, and this has never happened, they're about to race the Cup Series on a street course.
To cover every inch of the action on the 12-turn, 2.2-mile course around Grant Park, 29 robotic cameras were installed, more than triple the number normally used on a NASCAR road course.
So we are building the entire infrastructure from the ground up.
At the iconic Buckingham Fountain, an 80-foot strata crane was erected to capture the breathtaking Chicago skyline.
This is phenomenal. I mean, you guys have documented what you've seen. We haven't seen this before.
A fixed wing plane and two drones, help frame some of Chicago's most famous Loop landmarks as scenic backdrops.
This is one of the most surreal experiences I've had in NASCAR. And I just have to say, I wanted NASCAR to do a street course, but this has been unbelievable experiencing here on the ground and seeing these fans.
It's Independence Day weekend, and here in Chicago, listen to what that's going to sound like today. Right downtown.
One of the biggest things to happen in NASCAR in a 75-year history.
They're expecting over 70,000 fans.
For over 80% of the ticket holders this weekend, it is the first NASCAR experience they have ever had. It is just electric down
What's
here.
What's up, Chicago? Drivers, start your engine.
After a 90-minute delay, the race finally started as dusk began to fall.
Making history as NASCAR is racing in the streets of Chicago.
And 32 in-car cameras handled all the bumper-to-bumper mayhem firsthand.
Wow, unbelievable. Oh, an aggressive move right here down the hill under braking. I think the tempo is picking up, guys.
Kyle Busch hard into the tire barrier.
It has been 60 years since a driver has won in their series debut. Shane Van Gisbergen. He's won the very first street race in NASCAR.
Congratulations to everybody, because that was a fun few days here in Chicago.
Thumbs up. This was spectacular.
Resounding yes. This was a huge success.
Can I say one thing? Sign up for next year's race, because I'm telling you right now, there's a line, I'll guarantee you, of other cities that are calling, wanting this opportunity.
Yeah, this was unbelievable.
Come on up. What a great commercial for our great city. Please welcome the panelists, Kara, Julie, Jeff, Marty, and Layla. I'll hand it over to you. Thank you.
I want to say hi, Ryan. Hi.
I'll sit on the end.
Guys, I'm not very tall, so I'm going to sit. I can barely look over this podium. Sorry about that. Also, green means go. We are not talking Cubs and White Sox today, and I know there's a Bears mini camp, so all Bears questions have to be saved for the non-NASCAR portion of the program, just so we're all aware. Well, we don't have a chair. Looks like I'm standing.
You can have it back. I was like,
I didn't realize you were going to sit.
It's A-OK.
You were looking in.
No, I'm going to be lazy and sit with you guys. And my personal thanks to Julie Giese, where I feel like we are now on the speaking circuit. We can just do this, I think, once every couple months. Absolutely. I think the tap routine is probably next. I do want to reintroduce our absolutely great panel. It is my pleasure to be here and be able to talk to these people who I not only look up to, but just enjoy picking their brains. And to do it in year two after we just saw what was a tremendous event last season, it's so great to be able to have the knowledge base and be able to talk to you all about what is now a visualized product and what I hope is a mainstay in the city of Chicago. Kara Bachmann, it is always great to see you, the executive director with the Chicago Sports Commission. Marty Snyder, who did just wonderful work, especially for NBC and the IndyCar broadcast recently. I know if we've got an extra 45 to say 4 hours, you can fill it. Thank you.
9 hours total at Indianapolis, but it was great. It was awesome.
He's the man. And as we mentioned, of course, Julie Giese, the president of NASCAR Chicago. And also, so nice to see Jeff Banky here, the Vice President of Production and Motorsports for the NBC Sports Group. So I will take a seat now, guys, because we've got a long day ahead of us with all the sports today, so I thank you. I would like to start with what we just saw. I think just being able to talk to you all as creators and visualizers where this hadn't ever been done before, to not only get your plan together, to construct it from relatively nothing except the fabulous backdrop we have of our city, and then to see how it came to fruition, even in the film that we just saw, the sizzle reel, what comes to your mind when you consider looking forward to this next event on July 6th and 7th? Carl, I'll start with you.
Well, I'll just call out the weather situation. Everybody, just good vibes, because I think we all envision year two. Building upon what we did in year one and having beautiful, gorgeous weather. The video we just saw amazingly captured a lot of that. It didn't show so much of the rain aspect. But, yeah, year two, I think, you know, we feel really confident. The partners that we work with, we couldn't have better partners. I really can't say that enough. What you just saw up there, I said to Jeff the other day, I said, ooh, that might be too good. The video might be a little too good. I mean, I'm going to have to field a lot of calls from a lot of people who want to do that, which is not easy to do in Grant Park. But I think, yes, the broadcast partnership is tremendous. And without the partnership with NASCAR, we don't get NBC front and center showcasing our beautiful city all over the world. So I'm personally, for the Chicago side of things, we're really looking forward to that. And hopefully NBC keeps beating their viewership ratings by being in Chicago.
And Julie, just your thoughts as well as we get this started.
Yeah, I think for us, again, as Cara said, it's really building on what we started last year. We learned a lot. We knew we were going to. And this event, you know, we're racing 2 days around Grant Park, but it's being part of the community 365 days a year and being able to showcase all the things that we've been able to do and using our partners at NBC to tell those stories. And I think the thing that I've, the takeaway that I hear, and I heard it from somebody earlier, is just, you know, you might not have been here to in person, but I watched it on television, and oh my goodness, our city looked amazing. And so how do we just continue to amplify that and showcase how great this city is? And I will say, too, from a operations perspective, we've taken 6 days off of the build schedule. So trying to, again, minimize those disruptions, because that's important to us. We know where we're racing is in downtown around Grant Park, and we take that really seriously.
Jeff?
Yeah, I think for us at NBC, what we take a lot of pride in is sports events that happen, right? Whether it's a game, if it's a race. But coming here and having the city of Chicago as a backdrop gave us the perfect definition of what the word that we wanted, which was event. And everything being able to showcase all the downtown city, as you saw there, obviously the actual race was fantastic. For us, we were on the air for, as you heard Marty say, for many 5 hours before the race ever started. But none of that really mattered, because when it got to, actually it gave us 5 extra hours to showcase this magnificent city, mm-hmm. and to tell the stories of the drivers and everything, the competition and all of that. But all of our group left, and we had a huge group here, but just left with so much satisfaction in doing something that we had never done before in our careers, not just in racing, but in our careers. And so I think just event and being able to tell magnificent stories is what we were able to take away.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're a week removed from the Indianapolis 500, where that feels like a big event. And what you all did and what Julie and Cara and everyone here did was put on an event that level. And it felt that big. Even with the weather last year, it felt that big from our perspective. You know, sort of selfishly, you know, we're thankful to be the window to the world for Chicago. You know, we're blessed to be that at NBC Sports, and we love doing big events like that. But I joked with Julie earlier, you know, the rain was a blessing in a way, because as Dale Jarrett and Brad Daugherty and I were doing the post-race show last year, you could not have pictured a better backdrop than the city lit up, and it was dark outside. It looked amazing, and that we got that because of the rain. But we want to showcase a beautiful, sunny Chicago this year. We're counting on that. Kara's promised me the weather, and Julie has as well. I know it's going to come through. But that's what we're looking forward to this year, because you guys do have a terrific city. I have a dear friend, a childhood friend who lives downtown, and he left town last year. And he called me in the middle of the race, texted me in the middle of the race, and he goes, I have no idea why I left town. This was the dumbest decision I've ever made. I am not leaving next year. And so he'll be in town for this year's race, and he's not going anywhere. He's going to walk over and come hang out with me, because you guys, everyone in this room did an amazing job. and putting on an incredible event last year. I know it's going to be even better in year two.
Well, and Marty, I think it was you who said it first, the two-day love letter to the city of Chicago. I will add on that and say it's not just 2 days. NASCAR's investment in the city, I want to get to that a little bit later, but how it's been with from children up, ingratiating that into the city and being a part of the community. But I loved what you said when you called it a love letter. It wasn't just the 2 days, though. You guys made sure, as NBC employees, to be here to be here multiple days, multiple times throughout the year leading up to it, to really fully visualize what we were able to see so well.
Well, it's hard not to fall in love with the city when you see those iconic shots, right? And to have... You know, thank goodness for Jeff's vision to have our pre-race set literally right in front of Buckingham Fountain, where you could just see the how incredible the whole city looked. And Del Jarrett and I just kept looking at each other the entire time. We kept taking selfies, looking back at the city. And Del Jarrett doesn't take many selfies. He's a Cup Series champion and, you know, two-time Daytona 500 winner. But it was just one of those moments where when you were in it, you knew you were doing something special. You know, when I was, you know, in the middle of the scrum with Joseph Newgarden when he won the Indy 500 2 weeks ago, you know you're in a moment that's special. When we're hosting the pre-race show here at Chicago, we knew we were doing something special. And I really, you know, it even goes back further to Ben Kennedy's idea to let's challenge ourselves at NASCAR to do a street course race. And Jim France buying in saying, yeah, let's do it and let's invest in that. And then everyone on our side getting on board. And then I think it just went from there. And I don't think anyone dreamed, even with the weather, it could be as big as it felt. And the international presence with Shane Van Gisbergen winning his first ever start. I mean, that was just incredible. And the worldwide pull that got, that's stuff you can't buy. That's stuff you can't plan on. It just happens. And everyone kind of followed through in the moment.
And Layla, if I may, you mentioned love letter, and so I actually wrote one for this year to the city.
Always prepared.
And it's got to be good.
And it says, "Dear Chicago, I missed you. I want to see you again soon."
Love, Jeff.
Love, Jeff. No, so that kind of became a running line from last year. But the old line where you say, you only get one chance for your first impression. We're actually getting a second chance this year because as proud as we were of what Julie did, what Cara did, the crew that she puts together, that builds the infrastructure, all of the group in television, we get a second chance because of the weather, because there's so many more things that we're going to be able to do. The Strata camera that we put, that you saw in the video, fixed-wing airplanes, the chopper shots. A lot of those things that we really wanted to do, we couldn't do to the level we wanted. So we're really happy that we're going to have a second chance to be able to do that.
And I think it's a good point, or a good time to also point out that this was an event that did bring in fresh eyes to an established product when it comes to NBC. In fact, we have the numbers. And again, as an NBC employee, I'm proud to say this. It was the most watched Cup Series race on NBC in 6 years. So you were bringing in a fresh set of eyes, a fresh audience. And even with everything that happened, because people were so plugged in and the communication was so top-notch, viewership peaked at 9:15 and 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 here on a Sunday, 5.383 million TV-only viewers. That's not even counting the streaming. And the streaming audience was also massive. So that's when Shane Van Gisbergen took the checkered flag. It was a group that wanted to watch this. They wanted to be here. And I think that that's so important because you think everybody knows about Chicago. You think everybody knows about NASCAR by now. But to have that kind of audience, I think, speaks volumes to what we can potentially see. Julie, I would like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a big part of, for us, like in the conversations with Cara, to be able to extend that reach of the event, obviously. And our partners at NBC did such a great job telling the story and showcasing the city. So whether you attended in person or tuned in at home, and not only was it the most watched since 2017, but it was also the most streamed race in NBC sports history. So when you think about that, I mean, you're touching so many different people and telling this amazing story. And so for us, you know, part of our job is driving tourism to to Chicago and bringing people in. And that may be race weekend, but that could be at any point in time throughout the year because they tuned in, watched the race. I want to go there. I want to. That place looks amazing. And that's been really important to us. And I think that tail that comes along with the broadcast, when you look at just people attending the race last year, 85% of our attendees were at their very first NASCAR race. And we had attendees from 15 different countries, all 50 states. So again, like bringing people into the city, experiencing it. And the survey afterwards, I think it was 7 in 10, said they were going to return to Chicago for a vacation of their own outside of the race. So those are all things that when you, you know, it all kind of comes together and it drives people, drives tourism, drives economic impact to the city of Chicago.
And Cara, your thoughts as well?
Yeah, no, fully agree with Julie. It's, it is about driving tourism to Chicago. Hence the title of our panel discussion today. I'm sitting here, I was just talking with my good friend Daniel Thomas, who is with the state of Illinois. Thanks for being here. And, you know, he and the whole state really benefits from this extension and of the partnership with NASCAR. You know, this isn't their only race in the state of Illinois. And, you know, so I appreciate that they double down in our state and come to Chicago. But to Julie's point, and you know, we were talking about it earlier, but to get that broadcast centered in Grant Park, that's not something from a tourism perspective. You know, the Sports Commission, we're part of Choose Chicago. Our job is to showcase Chicago to the world, get people to want to visit here, leisure travelers, you recruit, you know, business conferences, conventions, etc. We cannot go to NBC and say, what kind of broadcast deal do you want? I mean, maybe we can, but what kind of broadcast deal do you want to do with Choose Chicago this year? No knock to the radiology convention, which drives great tourism, but they don't have a broadcast deal with NBC or any other broadcast for that matter. So to be able to work with a partner like NASCAR, and I was talking with Jeff about it, because the last time we had a massive broadcast opportunity like this was when we hosted the NFL draft. And, you know, you look at major sporting leagues, brands, teams, they come with a lot of different things that will benefit a host city. And NASCAR has, you know, in folds, and broadcast partnership is huge. And I will say, because I think they're too humble to mention, but in addition to our award from the Sports Business Journal for Best Sport Event of the Year, NASCAR was also nominated in other categories, including, I believe, broadcast a deal of the year, which is a highly competitive category. So, you know, they're being watched closely and have a lot of fine competition across kind of all verticals in sport. But yeah.
Well, and I'll add to that, too. The team at NBC was also nominated for an Emmy for their work on this event specifically. So, again, it was recognized, the different camera angles. You saw in the video, my favorite shot. Jeff's tired of me talking about this. But
no.
It is, they had this camera shot right next to our friends at the Art Institute looking over Jackson. And you could see just as those cars came over the crest of the bridge, the L in the background, the cars on the street, like it was the most authentic Chicago shot. And there's a race car in that shot. And it was just the view and the, like, it was, yeah, it was spectacular.
But I also, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how they did that, but I love it.
I think we got a guy.
But just looking forward, I mean, I think it's, you know, awards and nominations and all that stuff are really cool, and those are great. But the winners in this, and now just kind of flipping it forward, is the fans and the city. And all of, first of all, none of this could happen without Jeremy Kasperson and, you know, Julie's entire group, but also with the city of Chicago bringing in barriers and bringing in fencing and just saying, okay, you know, we'll do this and we'll do that. And seeing the way this group came together in the rain was amazing. But again, we're kind of at the point now where we have to be looking now to you know, we're going to be back here in just, you know,
31 days.
and the story is the festival, and it's the music. It's Keith Urban. but also it's the fans. And one of the things that was amazing is just being able to, like, I would leave the TV compound and go walk because I kept seeing 5, 6, 7 deep of fans behind those barriers and fences. And I would just go up and I would just went up to the, because I like to ask people questions, and I would just ask them, was this your first race? And they had no idea about how a race worked, yep, how many drivers were in a race, and would go back and then they would use that information to bring it into the broadcast about making this about the fans. And that's what I think is one of the big things on our minds for storytelling this year is the fans in this city.
But at the end of the day, it's about a race, and that's what's on the streets. And I know from the drivers I talked to, they had no idea what they were getting into. No idea. And they fell in love with it. They're like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, all the drivers, like, loved it. And there was a lot of trepidation in the garage area because they didn't know what this was going to be like, first ever street course race, all the things you heard in the video. But they fell in love with the racing and how it played out. And it was really cool from that aspect. And I think it's going to show off even better without weather, hopefully, and going to even look better. And I just was, we just did the Detroit Grand Prix this past weekend for IndyCar, and I was with Roger Penske. And he made a great point to me. He said, you know, we can do games at Ford Field all day long, and you know, Fox can be there doing a game. You can show Tigers games all day long, but nothing shows off the city. Nothing can show off the Renaissance Center in downtown Chicago. Nothing can show off your great downtown landscape like a race can, because you're all over and you show everything and you kind of have to show it. And it's a great postcard for what the city of Chicago can be. That's why they just did it in Detroit. And there's nothing like showing it in a race setting. And then you have all these fans crammed in as well. It just really is a cool way to show it. And on top of all that, the racing is phenomenal as well. And at the end of the day, yes, there's music and all the things that go along with it, but the core racing product was really, really good as well.
It was, and we've talked about on the NBC side the strategic stations for our broadcasters, whether it was the cameras in the skies or you, for example, stationed at Buckingham Fountain.
Yeah.
And that was a wonderful...
You guys were right beside us.
We had, we did steal a little bit of the power from the generator on the side.
Cool, whenever
but,
you want.
No, I'm kidding. We did, but at the same time, you were in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
And to see it moving around you and to have that vantage point, what did you take away from that last year? And how do you see it playing out this year?
Yeah, I think for us, the workflow will be even better this year, and all that will be great. And what was neat to me is how the fans had access right to where we were on our pit box, where you guys were, by Buckingham Fountain. It was really cool. And the amount of pictures Brad Daugherty took all weekend long, I can't even begin to describe you, even though he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sorry, everyone. But he's still a famous guy in this town, and people know him. But I think all of that will go even better this year. But just in terms of how everything, all the questions, like everybody in NASCAR in the garage area had, like, they don't have those questions this year. They're like, oh, cool, okay, Chicago, we're great, you know, where the garage area was, how they get from point A to point B, all those little things, they all know that now. And I think it will be even better. I think the racing competition will pick up to another level, just because now there's familiarity, and I think all of that will go really well this year.
And Jeff as well.
For us, the amount of people and the infrastructure is pretty special. This was larger. Our setup was larger than a Super Bowl. We had over 200 people, 80 cameras, I think 20, I'd have to talk to Jeremy, I don't know, 24, 25 total mobile units. So it just takes an army of people to put something like this together. So we're, you know, very proud of that. But again, without their help, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and I would like to note that it delivered $23.6 million in just media value to the city, which is the equivalent of roughly 3 Super Bowl ads, so that's huge. We're sitting next to this really cool trophy over here, and it is for the Sports Business Journal's Event of the Year. And Cara and Julie, I know that's something near and dear to you. So Cara, I would like to start with you a little bit. This beat out the Super Bowl, for one, Formula One Las Vegas, the U.S. Open. So what do awards like this mean for not just you, but also the chamber and the city?
Thank you for that question, because I want everybody to know that this award was won, and because there was, in the beginning, you know, this is new, and there are some people who chose the side, jumped right in, and were pro this. I mean, whenever you do something new, it's not just NASCAR, but in this particular instance, of course it is. And there's other people who were skeptical, and they wish they weren't. They've told us so we accept and we've moved on. And there's still a few maybe stragglers on the wrong side, but that's okay. But I think, you know, this is other people recognizing what was done. And to everything that was just said, the complexity, the number of people that were engaged. I'm looking out at this room and I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to mention every single person who touched this event, but I see you. You know, I see Anthony Pacenti, who worked with Jeremy Casperson, who was mentioned, and we couldn't have done it without Anthony. And the Flood Brothers bring out their trucks to help dry the course when the rain is insane. Like, every single person stepping up and being a part of it. So when you see that much energy around something, I think that was what was seen, really, what NBC helped to show. And that's why Sports Business Journal said, yep, that was better than the Super Bowl. Yep. That was better than F1. And no, F1 is not coming to Chicago. Just
news I can use. Thank you for the info.
This is true. But, I mean, whoever's talking the talk, that's interesting. Julie's cringing. I think Sports Business Journal could not have been more accurate or have chosen a more deserving event. And I think so many people feel that they won that award. Because of the amount of people involved. And shout out to my board member over here, David Kennedy, who showed up for the event. And I think a little bit of a charm there with the award being won. But it's well-deserved, and we're very, very proud of it. So feel free to take a photo or a selfie with the trophy, post it, say thanks to SBJ, and yeah.
We like directions. I appreciate that. Carr, I would also like to not just transition from your thoughts as well, but to Julie, because I feel like this was a partnership. I can't tell you how many events that we've discussed, whether it's working with kids at the museum, you know, from a STEM standpoint, and understanding that there is a huge engineering piece in this, and investing in the community, and what that really meant for the drivers, too, which is a separate question for me that I would like to get to before 1 o'clock. We have questions from the audience, by the way, guys. Keep that in mind. But your thoughts on the success of this and what we just mentioned. To win that award says a lot industry-wide about what it means to be able to not just be disruptive, but have something work the way it did.
Yeah, and I think for us, it was incredibly special. I'm not going to lie, I was really nervous that night because I wanted to take that trophy home, not just for the team in Chicago, in the NASCAR Chicago offices, for our industry, for our broadcast partners, but for the city of Chicago. The thing I'm most excited about is we have our next citywide meeting next week, and I can't wait to take that to the city agencies and see, because this was so many people that came together to put this event on, and I learned very early on, like, the city knows how to put on big events, and that group that were in our planning meetings across all the different agencies really helped us learn and put this event together, and that's part of the culmination. I mean, this was people recognizing it. But one of the things, too, that the SPJ told us that set us apart was the community outreach and being part of the community. And we said that from day one. We want to be in this city 365 days a year. I'm probably a broken record on that. But that is truly integral into everything we're doing. And that's not just here in Chicago. That's the NASCAR way in all the communities in which we're racing. And so whether it's different programs with our friends at the Art Institute, celebrating their Georgia O'Keeffe exhibit that just launched this week to... I got it?
Woo. I want to go see
in.
That.
Streets in New York. And also, I mean, Larry and Latoya Huggins are here, too, with Wards 365. Like, I had the opportunity to meet them and see the things that they're doing with Christmas in the Wards and Summer 50 Fest. And there are so many of those programs, After School Matters, to our relationship with Chicago Public Schools. We have the opportunity to be involved in every single school with a motion and force curriculum that is a STEM curriculum across all eighth grades. We brought 600 kiddos to the Field Museum earlier this year to compete in STEM programming, and it was all about building a fast race car. And so for us, it's those programs. Again, we're racing 2 days a year, but literally every week there is some sort of community touch point.
Well, and even the driver buy-in on this, which I thought was so crucial, because they knew that they had a simulation. But now to have this knowledge base, I can't wait for the actual finished product that we're going to see from a racing standpoint, but also the investment that they took. For example, the Bubba Wallace video where he went to a school and brought the kids his entire pit crew, and they did a pit crew stop for them and did it in full out, full speed. That video on social media got a million views within the day. And to see kids excited about this that maybe weren't exposed to this before, this is a generational investment.
It is, and that's one thing I love about our industry is when we call, they are like, tell us when and where. And our industry has been in this market for so many different things. Again, not just race weekend. It is moments like that. To doing virtual career fairs. We had a virtual career fair last week with Dunbar High School and with their automotive program, and helping them understand what those opportunities look like in NASCAR. Everyone sees the 36 drivers that take the green flag, but there's so many thousands of men and women behind the scenes that are bringing the race to the streets of Chicago. And so, again, our industry is like so supportive, and they enjoy those types of things. You'll see over the next 31 days as we lead into race weekend, more and more of our industry will be here. We have some pit crew members coming in for a Juneteenth event. We have one of our drivers coming in for a new event in middle of June that will be announced next week. Jake is probably cringing right now as well. You'll see that, and again, it's all about being out in the communities. Like, it is not, we're making sure that we are being a positive impact in and around the footprint, but it's about getting out to all the 50 wards as well.
And we just have a few minutes before the top of the hour, and if we have time, I have one question already submitted. So there's a call over here on my right side for any questions that you guys have for a brief Q&A. But now that we're in year two of this, and this is for all of you, if there's something you want us to know about either what you're looking forward to or how you see this playing out that maybe you didn't say earlier, this is your time. Carl, I'll start with you, and we'll just go around the horn.
I just encourage everybody to come and be part of it in some way. I mean, we've seen so many stories of people who longtime NASCAR fans or first-time NASCAR fan. And I think the experience overall is incredibly positive for our city and, you know, for attendees, families. It really has spoken to many people. So you're saying this story, Marty, about a friend who went out of town. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, don't be that guy that said, why did I do that? You know, be the guy who was like, I was there. The woman, the girl, the boy, whoever you are, just be the person who gets to say that you actually were there. And I have to give a shout out also to our friend Tom Anderson from the city, who has been an excellent partner of ours from the very, very beginning on all fronts. We were talking about community, and he's helped us so much. So thank you, Tom.
Julie.
Yes, and I echo that, Tom. Thank you. I think for me, and I've said this, we feel like we've got a little bit of unfinished business from an experience perspective, and just being able to deliver on all of the things that we wanted to do, and whether it's the different activations in and around the fountain that our partners had a limit to, the music, to our driver event on Saturday night, and being able to introduce these drivers and tell their stories a little bit to all these new fans that are attending. And then being able to do the full pre-race ceremonies, not have to give the command inside the media center and sing the anthem. That was the first, which was also the Art Institute. So that was the first time we've ever had to do that, but it worked. But again, there's a lot of things that we want to continue to deliver that that we started last year.
And Jeff.
So I wrote down, I didn't expect this question, but I wrote down, so we broadcast this last year in what we called radio style. So we had our booth in one location, and then we had our announcers at three different locations around the track. But just think about the locations that are being showcased. Our booth was on Columbus. Mike Bagley from MRN Radio, who works for us when we do radio style. So we go, the booth starts it, and then just high energy, high octane mood. It moves around the track, and just as if you're listening to a race on the radio, right? And that's how we broadcasted it on television. But Mike was at the turns 1 and 6, which is Columbus and Balbo. This year, Dylan Welch will be at DuSable Lakeshore, and Jeff Burton will be at Michigan and Jackson. Don't underestimate, I mean, all those streets are being a part of this. And to not underestimate, let me go backwards. We are not doing what is happening here today and haven't done this, these kind of presentations, these kind of conversations in 10 years and anything we're doing in motorsports at NBC. It's not happening. So, again, just kudos to all of you because it just really keeps us jazzed. And I also just want to mention our bosses is his name is Sam Flood. Yep. And I can't wait to go back and tell him that we met all of his brothers.
We need to borrow that sign. My only thought and challenge to you guys in the room would be, I know you all have friends who are like, I'm not a NASCAR fan. Why would I go? Just come and try it for a day. Just come out on a Saturday preferably Sunday, and just try it. Because I think you'll find the visceral experience of being there is far outweighs what we do on TV. And they'll become a fan. I can guarantee if you bring someone to the race, Saturday or Sunday, they'll be a race fan. They'll be like, holy smokes, I got to watch the next week. Because if you're here, you see it, you feel it, you smell it, which is an odd thing to say, but you do. It has a very unique kind of experience feel to it. You'll become a fan immediately. And that's what I would challenge you to do. And I think everyone who comes to a race, they immediately fall in love with it because they're like, that's cool. And you learn a little bit more about the drivers and you pick a driver to pull for, whether it's SVG because he won here last year or Kyle Larson because he just did the Indy 500 Coke 600 double or tried to because you've heard his name. Whoever it is, you'll pick someone and you'll fall in love with it. That would be my challenge to everyone in this room.
I also think there's a presence of aspirational media now that we see, especially on social media, and the ability for drivers for people to see themselves driving in the city really speaks to what we're talking about. It's not very often that you have that where you can picture yourself doing the same thing. You just don't have the cool cameras we have.
A lot slower.
Yeah, there's that. AJ Allmendinger says, do not try to drive like they do on Lakeshore. But I know some of you do. I know some of you do. All right, so we have a couple questions. I'm going to start with the one I got first. And I think this applies to Cara and Julie. How might the Chicago race begin to be embedded in the culture of Chicago itself? I feel like we touched on this a little bit, but specifically, for example, the F1 race in Monaco is synonymous with the city of, or with the municipality of Monaco. It has deep roots and is likely the best example of the cultural power of a race. What do you guys think?
I think, you know, a lot of the comments we've said, thanks for the question, really, because the culture aspect, I mean, what Marty just described, this experience where it does touch all the senses, but also it touches so many other aspects. And, you know, while NASCAR, you know, is typically not in a city center, of course, this, we're in a unique position to be the only city with a NASCAR street race, which helps us really, you know, drive that message, lean on them, they lean on us. And when you think of a street race, NASCAR, you're thinking Chicago skyline. And I don't really know anything that sells Chicago better. Pictures, 1,000 words, show them our skyline, they want to come. And so I think that's what I would say.
Yeah, and I think that's a big reason why we wanted to be in Chicago is you think about that, you want it to be memorable. You want it to be the best views. And I think, again, there's just nothing that rivals the location that we're in. So just tying those two together, just like Cara said, I think I agree completely.
Fabulous. And this is from Flood Brothers / the G-Men. All right, I have questions for you guys later on the nickname. But they do have some questions that I would also like to know. For example, where did you figure out where the track would be located and what went into the design? I think that that's something we all want to know.
I think in terms of the location, and Julie can talk about the design, but I think location, a little backstory there, I mean, I think has a lot to do with NBC. If you're going to create content that's different and exciting, what are people going to see? I think Grant Park, Buckingham Fountain does sell itself. And so when we initially started having conversations, I think some of you are aware, we did work with NASCAR a couple years prior to hosting this event where we had an eNASCAR iRacing simulated event, kind of was born in COVID for the drivers to compete on. And I thought this was a great idea because you don't have to close any streets. It's virtual. Close every street you want in your virtual race course. It's great. But that did help really show, you know, it wasn't just for the guys to compete, but that helped us show many other people to see what it could really look like. And I think it was always going to be there. It was never going to really be anywhere else. We, you know, maybe tried to explore, but of course, it has to be a certain length. So there's some specifications, but Julie can speak more to the actual design.
And also, if Jeff and Marty want to chime in.
And I'm sure they can as well.
Yes, Julie.
I mean, I think for us, the competition on the racetrack is a priority. We want to make sure it is a course that our drivers feel they can be competitive, that they can pass and win the race. And, you know, I think the simulation these days, like, you have the ability to try that. And coming out of that virtual race, like our drivers did, they were like, this really could work. It's a street race is notoriously always going to be narrow. And that was the one thing that I heard from our drivers leading into it, is just how narrow is it? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a race car driver. It looks really wide to me. and so just driving, going around the course with those drivers at different points as we were doing different events leading into the race and hearing, like, as they're seeing it for the first time and they're like, okay, well, this is actually, yes, I can pass here. I have a passing zone here. Okay, here's an area I'm going to have to, like, a couple turns that we all knew, turn four, which is DeSable Lakeshore Drive. I got this for you, Layla. DeSable Lakeshore Drive onto Roosevelt. It's a very quick right-hander coming off of that. And we knew, like, anyone that's run the simulations, I know some of you have tried out our simulators, that turn is really hard. But one of the other turns that they were telling me was it's turn eight, which is a quick right-hand turn into Congress Circle. And it's an off-camber turn. Marty, you're going to have to help me here. But essentially,
right, so far,
like, that was, they were just like, this one is probably going to be the most technical turn on the course. And I was just like, well, that looks pretty easy to me.
It's really
like
technical
sweeping
in
turn.
The rain.
Really technical. Yeah. So, you know, those are all things that when they're looking at it, that's what's important to them, is where are those passing zones? How does this work? And really, again, the feedback was nothing but positive.
It was very positive, yeah. And the big concern was, would the straightaways be long enough to have enough speed, enough braking to make a passing zone? And the answer was yes at the end of the day. So, and I think that'll showcase even more in the dry. And they even created some passing zones they didn't think would exist. If you move people out of the way, it works, which makes for great television for us and even better radio. So I think that the course will show even better, in my opinion, this year.
And I think for us, the next step, we were really, our group was really, where do we put the cameras? What's going to show the best angle? What's going to show the speed? Where can we look inside and get a shot inside of the car, just, you know, when we're not on an in-car camera? And our director, Sean Owens, who is just amazing, and our producer, Renee Hatlid, their job was to walk this course many times, methodically thinking for hours and hours and hours, where do we put our big, tall, we call them hard cameras, where do we put our handheld cameras, how can we maneuver to best service Marty and his colleagues on pit road. So it was a huge group effort.
And then this question is from Arielle. She asks, can you speak to the economic impact of the city and its residents? We've heard a lot in the news around the cost to the city and would love to hear from your perspective. I have some numbers here. Since I got them written down, I will mention these. The inaugural event created $108.9 million in economic impact and more than $8.3 million in tax revenue for the city. 30,000 hotel rooms were also delivered. It supported 750 jobs. And as we said earlier, delivered $23.6 million in media value. So just presence, people seeing themselves being here, people knowing what it's like. I know you two, of course, nodding, but just your thoughts on the impact as well. And it created some fun events for NBC, I want to say, too.
I mean, those numbers are correct.
Good to know.
So we that was important for us too, and we're hoping that we do even more this year, of course, as we've seen events, you know, build upon the years with increased economic activity, interest, etc. We had a third party group. So I really encourage people to look through their methodology. It is very, you know, conservative the way they approach it. So these are numbers that we're really proud of that we can talk about with great confidence. And, yeah, we're going to keep building on that.
Agree.
All right. Well, on that note, I think that's all the questions we have, guys. Thank you so much again. Our panel, Marty, Jeff, Julie, Cara, it's wonderful to see you guys. I personally am very much looking forward to July 4th weekend, July 6th and 7th, and I hope you guys are as well. Thank you again, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Layla. Thank you so much. One more thing. Jeff, I wrote something down. Dear NASCAR and NBC, we love you too. Love, Chicago. So we'll see you in 31 days. Thank you all for being here. Thanks, everybody, for doing your part in all of this. Such a great room full of people. Thanks for being at City Club. Look forward to having you all back very soon. Have a great afternoon.